Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Oh, cuán grande es tu amor. Aleluya. to praise the Lord. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
It was an awesome sight, yet beautiful too. Jesus stood there, alone except for a few disciples. The people crowded back from him. He looked every inch a king. His voice, when he spoke, rang out like trumpets, loud and clear and with kingly authority. The people fled, taking their money and animals with them. A few remained behind. They had nothing to fear. Soon, those who remained were joined by others who had come to see Jesus or to be healed of disease. Jesus healed the sick ones, and the temple courts rang with his praises.
Oh, I wish I could have witnessed it.
Soon the elders and scribes ventured back into the temple. Never before had such a scene been witnessed. There stood the young Jesus, bearing no earthly honor or royal badge. Surrounding him were priests in their rich apparel, rulers with robes and badges significant of their exalted station, the scribes with scrolls in their hands, to which they made frequent reference. Jesus stood calmly before them, with the dignity of a king. They assailed him in great numbers and carefully worded questions, but he met challenge after challenge with truth, pure, simple truth.
From now on, then, we are going to be followers of Jesus?
Oh, yes, yes. His word is truth. Yet, I'm somewhat confused and perplexed. Most people, I'm including myself, have always had great respect for the intelligence and apparent piety of the temple priests. Mm-hmm. In religious matters, we have always paid implicit obedience to their authorities. Yet, those same leaders are trying to discredit Jesus. Why?
Probably because they are jealous of the popularity of Jesus.
But why, oh, why don't they believe in Jesus? His teachings are so plain and simple. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I wonder what course is the right course, to follow Jesus or the authorities of the temple.
That is a decision you will have to make.
I will wait and watch and see what happens.
Father in heaven, loving, kind, all-powerful Father, I have given the leaders of Israel a warning. I have set before them their real condition. Yet, Father, there remaineth another work to be accomplished. Through their reverence for tradition and their blind faith in a corrupt priesthood, the people are enslaved. I must break these chains. I must more fully expose the real character of the priests, rulers, and Pharisees. To this end, help me, O Father, and give me the...
How terrible of you, ye scribes and Pharisees, imposters! You lock the door to the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, but you yourselves will not go in, and neither will you let in others who are trying to go in. How terrible of you, ye scribes and Pharisees, imposters! You take advantage of widows and rob them of their homes, and then make a show of saying long prayers. Because of this, your punishment will be all the worse. How terrible of you, ye scribes and Pharisees, imposters! You sail the seas and cross whole countries to win one convert. And when you succeed, you make him twice as deserving of going to hell as you yourselves are. How terrible of you, ye scribes and Pharisees, imposters! You give to God one-tenth even of the seasoning herbs such as mint, dill, and cumin. But you neglect to obey the really important teachings of the law, such as justice and mercy and honesty. These you should practice without neglecting the other. Oh, ye scribes and Pharisees, I tell you indeed, the punishment for all these will fall upon the people of this day. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem! You kill the prophets and stone the messengers God has sent you. From now on, you will never see me again until you say, God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord.
I don't have much to eat today, dear God. But what I do have, bless it to my physical and spiritual strength, so that I might better do thy will. Thank you. I'm a poor widow, yet I'm greatly blessed. God has given me all the beautiful things of his universe to look upon and enjoy. The many-colored birds sing songs of joy. The flowers of the fields. I love the smell and feel of soft flowers, made soft by the Master's touch of love. I wish I could do something for him. Tomorrow's the Sabbath. I shall go to the temple and give God the 2 mites I've been able to save. It's such a small gift, O Lord, but it's all that I have. Please use it, if you can use such small gifts, and bless someone with it. Thank you. Amen. So many of the offerings are large. I have only 2 mites. Oh, I'm so ashamed that I shall let no one see me give such a meager offering. Maybe I shouldn't insult the... No. God is not insulted by sincere gifts, however small. But the people look not at the heart, but at the amount of the gift. The service of the temple is of God's appointment, and I must do whatever I can, though small, in helping to sustain it. Oh, here comes another generous giver. I'll hang back a while. Now, no one is coming. I'll drop it in and hurry away so no one can... It's Jesus. He's looking straight at me.
My disciples, come ye hither. I would that you observe that widow and her poverty. She has just willingly, happily cast into the treasury box just 2 mites. Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all.
Continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Who is in my store squeezing cantaloupe? My friend Mariam.
Hi, Mr. Habib.
Your school report about people in your town. Have you finished it?
Nope. Just one more question for you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Why fruit?
Why fruit?
Yes, why do you sell fruit? Why is there Habib's Fruit Market?
Because I know something that many of my customers don't even know.
Really? Is it a secret?
Not if you want to be healthy and strong. You see, fruit is medicine.
Medicine?
Yes. When God created fruit and vegetable, he was really making medicine that is more powerful than anything you can find at drugstore. Take these oranges. They contain vitamin C, something everybody needs to fight cold and flu. And these blueberries, they help fight cancer. Everything you see here is powerful medicine designed by God to keep us healthy and strong.
I didn't know that. I thought they just tasted good.
You see how wise God is? He made the things that are good for us taste good too. He put wonderful flavor in each one. Watermelons, grapes, pomegranates, pineapple. Each is filled with good medicine and delicious flavor.
And mangoes?
Especially mangoes. So when I sell fruits and vegetables, I'm giving my customer powerful medicine from great physician himself.
Thank you, Mr. Habib. That's great to know. I'll take a big bag of those medicine mangoes over there. I want my mom and dad to be healthy too.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Jesus, the joy.
Jessica's New Year's Resolutions. Plumes of white smoke curled up from the chimney of Grandma and Grandpa Benson's cabin, almost hidden by the drifts of snow. The wind that had hurled snowflakes for a fresh covering that afternoon had died down, but the low clouds, dark and threatening, still spilled big white flakes that settled silently on the already blanketed yard, on the mounds of snow that covered the fence posts, and on the narrow paths from the cabin to the barn, chicken house, and woodshed. The door of the cabin opened, and a stream of light pushed out onto the lean-to porch when Jessica Benson, pulling her sweater around her, stepped outside the cabin. "Grams," she called, "aren't you through milking yet?" "Not quite," came the muffled sound of Grandma's voice from the barn. Jessica turned back into the cabin and closed the door. She leaned against it and looked at her brother Jeffrey at the table. "I wish Mom and Dad and Gramps would come home from town. Jessica paused. "I don't like it here in the woods in all the snow. It was fun to come for Christmas, but when will we ever get home with all this snow? Suppose Mom and Dad and Gramps can't get back from Canyonville. They said they'd be back before dark, but it's getting..." "Oh, come on, sis, stop worrying. Why don't you do as I'm doing? Tonight is New Year's Eve. I'm making New Year's resolutions. I sure know some that you could make." Jeffrey swung around in his chair. "Now look here," he added when he saw the frightened look on Jessica's face. "The folks will be home soon. Every Christmas vacation, Grams and Gramps have come to our place. This year they wanted us to come here. Maybe they think the same of the city as you do of the country. I, for one, have had a good time tobogganing and learning to ski on the skis Grams and Gramps gave us for Christmas. Even the tumbles have been fun." Jessica frowned. "It's all right for you to talk. You can already ski, and you don't mind tumbling in the snow. I hate it. All that icy cold stuff gets down inside my collar. Going so fast on the toboggan scares me, and I'll never, never learn to ski." Jessica walked over to the window and stared out into the gathering dusk. "What are you scared of? A bear?" Jeffrey teased. "You'd better sit down and make some New Year's resolutions with me. You could make one not to be a fraidy cat. And you know the saying, if at first you don't succeed, try, try again. Well, you could make some resolutions like that." "Jeffrey," Jessica interrupted, "I'm sure I heard a call." Jeffrey jumped up and ran to the door, jerking it open. Carried on the cold, crisp air was a call. "It's Graham's," Jeffrey sprinted toward the barn. Jessica grabbed Jeffrey's sweater from the hook by the door and ran out after her brother. There on the floor, just inside the barn, lay Graham's, the milk pail on its side and the milk spilled out. "I slipped," Graham's said, and closed her eyes. "Oh, Graham's, you're hurt. What'll we do?" Tears began to roll down Jessica's cheeks. "What'll we do? We're all alone." "No, child," Graham's said in a weak voice. She opened her eyes and tried to smile, but a groan escaped her lips. "No, we're not alone." Jessica looked over at Jeffrey. "What'll we do?" she repeated. Then they heard Graham's whisper. "What time I am afraid?" "I will trust in thee," Jeffrey finished. "Why, that was our memory verse," Jessica said. "I think we should pray." "I think so, too," Jeffrey agreed. "Then we'd better act." They bowed their heads and prayed. Then Jeffrey jumped to his feet. "We've got to do something about Grams, but we can't move her." "We can't leave her here," Jessica exclaimed. "Look," Jeffrey said, "you go to the house and get some blankets. You'd better fill the hot water bottles, too, and bring them out here. I'm going to fork some clean hay around Grams. That'll help keep her warm and also sop up the spilled milk." Jeffrey reached for the pitchfork. "Go on, Jessica, hurry." Jessica hurried to the cabin. The blankets were kept on the top shelf in the hall closet. Jessica couldn't reach them. Her mind seemed blank. "I can't get them," she started to sob. Then Jeffrey's words came to her about giving up too soon and about trying again. And right nearby, she saw a chair. In a jiffy, she had three blankets down. There was hot water in the tea kettle on the back of the stove. Jessica got the hot water bottles from the place under the wash basin. At first, her hands shook so that she was afraid she would scald herself pouring the hot water into the bottles. But the thought of Graham's out in the barn and that verse steadied her. She hurried out of the cabin, her arms loaded with blankets and water bottles. Twice she stumbled, and once she fell, but she kept saying, "I've got to get these to Graham's. I've got to." She got up and ran to the barn. Jeffrey opened the door when she kicked on it. They put one hot water bottle on Graham's back and one at her feet. Then they tucked the blankets around her, and Jeffrey put more hay around the blankets. "Now what?" Jessica asked. "I've got to go to Thorson's and get help. I wish Graham's and Gramps had a telephone," Jeffrey said. "Thorson's home is 2 miles down the road. How do you know the road isn't blocked? Maybe that's what's keeping Mom and Dad and Gramps." "I'll ski over the hill. It's shorter. I'll take Dad's flashlight. You get your ski suit and heavy socks and shoes on and..." "Oh, I can't go with you. I can't ski," Jessica protested. "I didn't mean for you to. You stay out here with Grams." But I'll be alone." "Now look, sis, we've got to get help for Grams. She's in pain, I can tell. We've got to get help for her. Nothing is going to hurt you. Scoot and get into your warm clothes." Jessica started to repeat over and over, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee," as she pulled on her warm socks, ski pants, boots, and jacket. Then she hurried back to sit near Gramps while Jeff dressed in his ski outfit and went for help. It was dark now. The lantern hanging on the wall in the barn gave an eerie light. The wind began to blow outside. The barn door creaked, and the windows rattled. Something scraped against the side of the barn. Bossy, the cow, turned and looked at Grams and Jessica and mooed softly. Grams groaned. She tried to open her eyes and smile at Jessica. It seemed as if they had been in the barn for hours and hours. Scrunch, scrunch, scrunch. There was something or someone outside. Jeffrey couldn't be back yet. Jessica looked over at Grams. Grams opened her eyes. What time I... She closed her eyes again. Jessica remembered the verse. Then she heard voices and the barn door opened. Mom! Dad! Gramps! She flung herself into Mom's arms and blurted out what had happened. Mom took her into the cabin while Gramps and Dad carefully lifted and carried Gramps in and laid her on the bed. Soon, Mr. Thorson and Jeffrey arrived. She'll be all right, Dad promised as he drove off to get the doctor. It was some time before Mom and Jeffrey and Jessica could settle down in the little cabin snuggled in the snowdrifts that night. At last, Jeffrey sat at the table, pen in hand, to finish his New Year's resolutions. I think I'll make a few myself, Jessica said as she got paper and pencil. I've learned a thing or two, and I intend to put them into practice this year. She made her list. Number one, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Number two, keep on trying, and I will succeed. Number three, ask Jesus to help me keep my resolutions. She paused for a moment before she wrote, Number four. Then with a flourish she printed, What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's the most important of all, she said when Jeffrey read over her resolutions and said, Why, you've got that down twice.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.